Please, please welcome. Sing that song, Holy Words Long Preserved. Thank you.
let's sing one more, brother George. Let's sing something a little bit, a worship song if you can. God bless each and everyone who's joined this evening. We've met on Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday morning. I'm sure Brother Busobozi and the saints have had a wonderful time across in Kampala as well. We thank the Lord for what he's done for us this weekend. And we just pray for a one more time now as we gather together as the young people. You know, one thing you'll find about the Lord, Jesus, he always said, suffer the little children to come to me even. You know, the Lord has a heart for young people. We know that. Serve thy creator. Worship thy God in the days of your youth. That's a wonderful thing to do. You find Jesus at 12 years old about his father's business. So may the Lord really help us upon this evening as we give over to Brother Busobozi to minister to us. And as we always say, there's no old people in the Lord. Every one of us, we're just children sitting at the feet of the Lord upon this evening, wanting to hear from him. And why do we want to hear from him? We want to be better equipped to serve him. We want to be better equipped to overcome the temptations, the conditions of the day that we're living in. And the Lord has given us such a wonderful thing to hide us behind his word, to fortify us. And the revelation of the word gives you power over all the power of the enemy. The revelation of the word shows you where to go, shows you where not to go, shows you who you are, who the Lord is. And that's what we're just desiring more of this evening. So let's just bow our heads and we pray, and then we gladly give over to Brother Busobozi. So glad, brother, to fellowship with you and the saints there once again this evening. Some of the young people I see from Nottingham, God bless you saints as well. And may the Lord richly bless the meeting. Let's pray and we hand over to Brother Busobozi. Father, it's a privilege, it's a blessing to once again come before thee, Lord. We know these tabernacles, Lord, they sometimes get tired, but Lord, our souls, they always rejoice to worship you. Our souls always rejoice in your word. Our souls always rejoice to come into your presence. And that's what we're seeking once again upon this day. That, Father, even as you quicken the minister, that you'd quicken each and every one of us, quicken our hearts, quicken our souls, quicken our faith, Father, and speak unto us, Lord. You know the things that lay before us. You know the challenges we face. know, the desires, the decisions, you know, where each and every one of us are. And Lord, we're just asking of you that you just meet every single one of us at the point of need upon this day, that you'd minister of your mercy and minister of your grace, that as we'd come to the end of the service, we'll say it was good to gather together in this manner, Lord. Father, thank you for the songs that we've sung. Thank you for the day you've given us. Now may you bless the minister, bless your word, and bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. Let's hand over to Brother Busabozi. God bless you richly, bro. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you all hear me? All right. God bless you. God bless you all. It's just a wonderful privilege to be with you, saints. Yet again, this time of the year, I would just like to appreciate you, Brother Andrew, Pastor Andrew, for the invitation. Okay. All right. I just pray that the Lord will give us a wonderful connection today. Praise the Lord. So I was just saying that it looks like we are accustomed to meeting in our homes because of the effects of COVID-19. But all in all, we just want to thank God who gives us continually grace. Here in Uganda, we can now gather. I know like in Dublin, we can now gather in our churches. And we had a wonderful service this Sunday morning. Why don't we, if you can stand, I don't know if you can stand the situation, the condition you are in your home, and I'd like us to sing a small chorus, Amazing Grace, and then we'll just straight away go to the word in the book of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 is what we'll read. Amen. This time, Lord, gathered in different countries, several homes, Lord Jesus, as we have been told to speak to the young people tonight. I know that different ones, even family people, are gathering and joining us tonight. We want to commit this service into your hands, Lord, that you will inspire me, that you will guide me, that you will lead my thoughts, that I'll be able to speak your mind. My brothers and sisters that are going to be listening in, that you will give them also the mind of Christ, that we all shall be able to hear from you, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray, as we take the pages of the Holy Word, as we even remember the world all the world around us, remembering the day when you were born. We know it might not even have been this time of the year, but when everybody's remembering when you were born. And we don't want just to remember the Jesus that was born in the manger, But we want to remember and to know the Jesus that was born in the manger of our hearts. That's our desire tonight, Lord. Father, as we gather now and as we read the scripture, I pray that you bless it. Bless each of us, Father, and may our thoughts be in tune with yours, Lord, tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just go straight away go to the scripture. Matthew chapter 2. I was going to take another scripture to, and really tonight I'll preach on another scripture, but I thought I should just start with this one, Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, because this one fits perfectly the thought. Matthew chapter 2. And we are going to begin from verses 7, and we will read until verses 13. All right. I believe everybody is there. Amen. Says, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, this is Herod inquiring of the wise men what time the star appeared. Now, of course, Herod had not seen the star. The priests had not seen the star, but the wise men saw the star. And so now here Herod was inquiring of them when or what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So he seems to be a very broken-hearted man. He seems to be one that really wants to know Jesus. He seems to be desiring to actually worship Jesus. But is that so? Let's see. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned, listen to this, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So it seemed that the king really wanted to worship God. And maybe they were touched and this man is genuine. He wants to know God and, he wants to worship Jesus. But you see, the angel of the Lord came down and warned them that he wasn't meaning good. And so he warned them to go another way, not to return to this man. And you will have to hang to that thought because that's what I will be running with. They had to make a choice whether to hear the voice of the angel or to follow what this man said. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. And I think, let's just read along down there a little. I think one or two more verses. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. May the Lord add blessings for the reading of his word tonight. Amen. Brother, you want to help me here a little bit? Okay, so now, saints, when Brother Andrew asked me to speak, I did not exactly know what is it that I will speak on, and I had many, not that I didn't have what to speak about, but I had many thoughts running through my mind and my heart, and I wrestled whether it would be this. I have spoken on this subject that I'm going to speak on tonight here at the local church. I think it's been about 2 to 3 meetings. So it's not a short one, but I pray that the Lord will take it tonight and he be able to address your heart. And I have in mind that I'm speaking to the young people, the youth. I know that this is being streamed and probably it will be available also later on for others to be able to listen to. So pray for me that the Lord will be able to speak to you. I know there are many needs across the body. I do not know your needs personally, being that I do not know you personally, but I know that the Lord knows you personally. I have a few young people here with me, about 5, being that it is late here. We have, it's exactly 8:23 p.m. here. So we have a 3-hour difference. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And so this evening, our evening, I know you are also in the evening time there. I'm speaking on the power of free moral agency. Now, the way I got an inspiration to speak on this the first time was when I was speaking to a certain young man, and you know, he was struggling, you know, with believing the message and whether or not the message is true, whether or not he's meant for it, and whether or not. So then this thought just came to my mind. You know, you have the power to either believe it or to reject it. The power is with you. You know, you cannot say, well, I'm serpent seed, maybe I'm serpent seed. The power is with you to decide who you are. The power is right. You know, we put too much to God and say, well, God, God has done everything. But really, we as the believers, as the children of God, and as human beings, we have a certain power that God has given to us that he has not given to other creation or other creatures. And so I want you to follow with me. I do not know how much time I have. I know I might not be able to complete the thought, and maybe I'll have to complete it at another service, another time, when we have an opportunity to meet again. But I'll try to go as fast as I can and cover as much as I can, as much as the Lord laid on my heart tonight. So I thought I should, because of the season, put in Matthew chapter 2. Because this is also a good point of reference, but we will dwell much on Genesis, which we shall read shortly. So here in the book of Matthew chapter 2, I only wanted that verse to emphasize on that verse. These wise men, and you know, there's much we can talk about these wise men. Really much we can talk about them, but not in this service. So these wise men, you know, had seen this. They were wise, and I always say this, they were wise because they were able to recognize the star. Now, I want you to understand that this star was in the sky where every human being, practically every human being, can be able to see with their naked eyes or with their physical eyes, so to say. But you see, the reason why all the other human beings did not see the star is because they were foolish. They were not wise. So these were wise men because they were able to see the star and to interpret the meaning of the star. And they were able to understand that when that star would appear, it was telling of the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the deliverer of Israel. And so they knew that when they follow that star would lead them where Jesus Christ was. And of course, we know that in every generation, God sends a star. So it's not only in the days of the wise men and in the days of the birth of Jesus, the physical birth of Jesus, but also it is a continuous thing that is happening. You know, a star appears in every generation. We know that a star has been appearing for 6 ages, and we are now in the 7th. And this 7th age, another star has appeared. Hallelujah. And so we know that this star that has appeared in our time is called William Branham. Now, I know that I actually had one of the friends of mine, not a believer from Nigeria, but maybe a Christian, and he told me he would stream. I don't know whether he's on. A few people told me they would be on. And so I know that some people would be or might be hearing things for their first time. And maybe you will need to go and do search from the scriptures to see if those things are so. Don't just hear something and get offended. Just hang in there and see what the Lord will speak to you. So we know that William Branham is a star of God for our generation. How many believe that? Just raise your hand and say, I believe that. Amen. God has sent to us his star. But now listen, it is not the star that these wise men worshipped. They were so wise that they knew it is not the star they are supposed to worship, but they knew they had to make a right choice to worship the right thing. And so that they knew that the star was leading them, guiding them to where the Messiah was. And of course, the star led them directly to where the Messiah was. And when they reached there, they forgot about the star. They bowed down and they worshiped the Messiah. And so this is what Brother Branham has done, in his message has done in our day, because when he came on the scene, he was the star, God's star, God's star messenger, according to the book of Revelation chapter 3. God is star messenger to our generation, and he's delivered the message to us, and we have received it, you know, from all nations, from all kindred, from all over the world. You know, this message has gone all over the world, practically on every nation on earth, even in Arab nations. There are believers even in Egypt. There are believers in Ethiopia. There are believers all over, you know that can say that we have seen his star and we have come to worship him. Amen. And that's why we are worshiping Jesus Christ, because this star, this message cannot lead us to anything else. It must lead us to Christ, not to anything, but to Christ and Christ alone. That's what this message has led us to. And so when they reached the, I don't want to dwell on this much, but when they reached the place of the king, excuse me, the king, the king told them, he said, please, when you see the star, let me know so that I will also come and worship this star and worship the Son of God, worship Jesus, worship the Messiah. And so when the wise men heard, of course, maybe they were touched. You know, I always say that pastors or shepherds or real true servants of God, they are really touched immediately when they hear someone interested in the truth. They want to do all they can to bring that truth to that person. And so, but while they were going, he appeared to them again, that is Christ, and he told them through an angel that do not go back, because, of course, the man wanted to kill the Messiah. He didn't want to worship him. He only wanted to kill him. And there are many today who claim to worship him when they are actually killing him. Because by denying his word, by rejecting his word in the Bible, they are killing him. They are putting him back to the cross again. And so, this man, when they heard the voice of the angel, they had a choice to make. You know, the angel never forced them. He never pulled on them. He never kicked them. And he never told them, you must come with me. You must not go back. You must. No, it is a free will thing. You do what you want, but here is the message for you. And so tonight I'm speaking on the power of free moral agency. And like I told you that I'm going to take that from Genesis. If you can go to Genesis with me, Genesis chapter 4, just a few verses there. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, the wise men made a wise choice. Their choice saved Jesus from being killed. Despite of all the king's command, they were free moral agents. And I believe like them, we are also free moral agents today. And I believe like them is also Cain. Cain was a free moral agent. Now, whether before we talk about the subject of serpent seed, whether you are serpent seed or not serpent seed, you know, sometimes the devil brings in thoughts in the hearts and in the minds of young people. Could I be serpent seed? The pastor the other day preached and he said that if you do that, maybe you are serpent seed. A seed of God cannot do that. And then they went like, oh, maybe am I serpent seed? Am I serpent seed? Could I be serpent seed? Oh, maybe I'm serpent seed. And the devil tells them, yeah, you got it. You are serpent seed. Say, oh, yeah, I'm serpent seed. I can never believe. And some of them leave church and the devil, you know, takes them on that road. But tonight I want to speak to you and tell you this. No matter what type of seed you are, I do not care what the devil told you you are. I know that the pastor has told you who you are. Maybe a preacher has told you who you are. I know over the weekend, you've been hearing meetings and other preachers ministering. And you've heard who you are. And in the message, countless times we have heard who we are. Because this message tells us, tells the bride who she is. It reveals who we are. There is no way you can receive this message and not realize who you are. But you see, no matter what you might have thought that you are, or what the devil told you, what you heard from the word, and maybe the doubts that you received, tonight I'm here to tell you that you are given something that God has not given to something else in his creation. When he created man, he created something that was closest to him. When God created man, he put in him something that he never put in all the other creatures. Something he never put in the serpent. Something he never put in all the other animals, in all the other beasts of the field. Something he never put in the birds of the air. Something he never put in anything else, in the trees of the field and anything else. He put this power in a human being. And that human being has got a power that no other creation of God has. And that is the power to be a free moral agent. And we know who Cain is. We know that Cain was a seed of the serpent. By his character and by what the word says, we know that Cain was not a son of Adam. And we know that Cain was a seed of the serpent. We also know that a serpent seed cannot be saved. We know that. We've been taught that. But I want us to look at it in another perspective tonight. And the Lord said unto Cain, now when the Lord says, actually the Lord is preaching. The Lord is speaking his word. Because everything that God says is his word. Everything God says, amen, he's speaking to you. He's preaching to you. And God said to Cain, so that day it was Pastor God himself who took the podium and he said, so today I'm preaching to you, the church, and now I'm singling you out, Cain, and my subject is, why art thou wroth? Why art thou wroth? I want you to imagine and picture this and take yourself in the garden as though it were that you were in the Garden of Eden. And so God comes down and he says, why art thou wroth? That's a question. Why is thy countenance fallen? Why do you look the way you look? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain, I'm here to preach to you this morning or whatever day or whatever time of day it was. That if thou doest well, will you not be accepted? In other words, God was telling Cain, you have the power within you to choose what to do. And if you choose to do well, I will accept you. Do not tell me that God was a liar. Don't tell me God was teasing Cain. God's word is forever settled in heaven. And whatever he says, he means to do it. He has to go through with it. And so indeed, if Cain did well, God was saying, I am ready to accept you. I am ready to receive you. I am ready. The only thing is, you have to make a choice to do well. But if thou doest not well, he said, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. Now in the Amplified, he says, if you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable, and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? Meaning, to do well, you have to do what is good and what is acceptable to God. What is pleasing to God, not to you, but to God. Will you not be accepted? And if thou do not well, but ignore my instruction. What is the instruction of God? The instruction of God is the word of God. And he says, but if you do not well and ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. You see, God wants us to master sin, to control sin, to overcome sin, to rule over sin. But you see, this man, Cain, did not do well, and sin ruled over him. You see, the power of choice, man only possesses this power. All other creatures do not have this power. You are responsible for your actions. Never in your life, maybe you have done that one time. But I want to ask you politely this evening, never again in your life say, this has happened to me because of so and so. This has happened to me because of my mother. If it weren't for my father, if it weren't for my brother, if it weren't for my friend, if it weren't for my pastor, if it weren't for so and so, I would have been better. No! It's your choices, the choices you make in your own life. You have the power over you. You can do well or not. It is entirely up to you, my precious brother. It is entirely up to you, my brother, my sister. And I want you to hear this. And I'm sorry, I don't have the slides tonight. So I hope you'll be able to follow with me. If you have another gadget and you want to search out the code and follow me, that's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. This is from the message, A Prisoner. And he says, now we are all born a free moral agent. All of us. Doesn't matter who your parent was, who your mother was, whether your mother was a saint or a sinner, it doesn't matter. We are all born the same. We are all born at the same level. We are all born free, a free moral agent, to make any decision that we wish to. God justly, did you hear that? Did you hear that? God justly does that. Because he must put every man on the same basis. Do you realize that you are born on the same basis with your pastor? On the same basis that Brother Branham was born in? On the same basis that every human being was born on? You are born, we are all born on the same basis. But why are we not all equal? Why are some happy and some sad? Why are some poor and some rich? Why are some suffering and some happy? Why? And then people begin to blame everything on God and say, oh, if God was good, why would people suffer? If God was good, why would people die? Why would people get sick and all that? No, we are all born on the same basis because God is a just God. Amen. And he has to ensure that we all come in this world on the same basis. He didn't favor nobody. We are all born in this world naked. We are all born in this world with nothing. You see, so he put the first man on the wrong. All right, then he says, oh, he put the first, he has to be a just God, or he put the first man on the wrong basis. That he put on free moral agents. We are just exactly tonight like Adam and Eve. We are. There is no different. Right? And wrong sin sets before either one of us. If you are with somebody where you are, tell them right and wrong sets before you. And he says life and death. We can make our choice. Did you hear that? I wish I can hear your voices. Can you all say, I can make my choice? At least those of you who are here can shout and say, I can make my choice. Yes, you can make your choice. It's up to you, he says. It's up to you to make it. That's the way Adam and Eve did. See? And they made a wrong choice. Adam and Eve made a wrong choice. And now by that, they put the whole race of human race under the death, the penalty of death. Can you imagine that because of the choices they made, they put the whole human race under jeopardy. Now, some may say, yeah, you see, I told you, someone has to be blamed. No! They might have done that, but when you were born, you were also born on the same basis as they were. And you can make your own choice that will land you in a better place than you want to be. And then God came down in the form of man and took that death and paid the penalty. Hallelujah. Amen. We were all born in the same basis. But listen, hey, we were all born sinners because of the choice Adam and Eve made. But thank God, amen, that he sent his son Jesus. Hallelujah. And we know he wasn't just a son. He was more than a son. He wasn't just a prophet. He was more than a prophet. Who was he? He was God himself veiled in human flesh. And he paid the penalty of death. His subjects now listen to this. He says, his subjects that desired to be free. Oh, I wish we were all together. Hey, amen. Because I'd love to hear your voices on this. He says, his subjects that desired to be free could go free. If you are his subject and you desire to be free, you now have an opportunity to go free.
Amen.
The devil has no reason or authority to bind you. You now have a reason and an opportunity to go free. It's your choice. Some people choose to remain bound all their life, but you can choose to go free. Some say, well, I wish I was the seed of God. I wish I was born in a better situation. I wish I was born without this desire of the world in me. You know, I would be a better person. I would have made the right choices. Look, it doesn't matter what you feel you are. I have good news for you tonight. In the message, things that are to be, he says, therefore, we know that Jesus has gone to prepare a place to receive a people unto himself. Who those people are, I hope it's we are a part of those people tonight. I believe we are. If it isn't, my friend, if he says, if you are not a part of those people tonight, if it isn't, God has made a way, a condition that you too can be included in that. Ha, listen, if you want to. If you are not a part of his people, he has made a condition. Hallelujah. He has made a way for you. Amen. Do not die in your sins. Do not die in your trespasses. Amen. God has made a condition for you. There is a place. Amen. There is a condition made around here in the word of God. Amen. Whereby you also can go free. If you say, amen, the devil has bound you that much, you really feel you cannot make it, I tell you, the only thing you have to do is to choose to be free, to accept your freedom. Do not accept to be bound. Do not accept the demons of Laodicea. Do not accept to be bound by this world when you can decide to go free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't accept, amen, to be, amen, bound by depressions. You know, they're going all around the world. Don't accept, amen, to be bound, amen, by, demons of sexual demons and spirits of this generation. Don't accept, amen, to be bound by lust. Don't accept, amen, to be bound by the things that is binding all the young people in this generation, because you can make a choice and say, I accept to go free tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. He says here, you see, friend, God has made a way, a condition that you can be included in that if you want to. You are on a free moral agency. You can act the way you wish to. Hallelujah. You can stand right now and say, I am not going to be bound anymore in this thing. As long as you are under the sound of my voice tonight, it doesn't matter whether I'm not seeing you, whether, you know, as long as you can hear what I'm telling you, amen, that's God speaking to you. You can stand and declare it. You can clap your hands and declare it. You can shout and declare it. You can, amen, say yes and declare it. You act the way you wish to. You see, all have choices. And, while I was studying, you know, I found a very beautiful article and I was just reading through it. And I felt like, oh, this is a very good one and it's a very good piece. I just quote a few things out of it for you. He says, in over 4,000 scriptures, where choose, will, And other words expressing volition or will are used. Not one suggests that God forces any person to accept him, his love, or do his will. God doesn't force you. He won't force himself on you. No, sir. Our relationship with God is entirely on a voluntary basis. I love you. Do you love me? You know, young people, when we always hear a youth meeting, every young person thinks, oh yeah, we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about, relationships, and we're going to talk about marriage. But tonight I'm talking about a relationship and love and marriage between you and Christ. You see, he doesn't force himself on you. No gentleman forces himself on a lady. No! If there is one, then he's not fit to be a man. If a sister says no, please back off. Why force? Why force? Put some force. No, God showed me you must be the one. Who told you that she must be the one? And God showed you, and God never showed her. You have to be a gentleman, like Christ is. He says, I'm outside at the door and I'm knocking. Da, 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 da. He that will open for me, I will come in. But he that won't open for me, what does he say? Well, of course, he will not enter in. But if you open, he will come in and he will sup together with you. He is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself in your heart. He wants him to do a miracle for you. He can do it, but he doesn't force himself on you. You want something from him, he can give it to you, but he doesn't force it on you. Our relationship with God is entirely on a voluntary basis, he says. Excuse me. All right, if man were not a free moral agent, God would be entirely... Listen, if man were not a free moral agent, God would be entirely responsible for all evil, all sin, all poverty, all rebellion, all bad things, all sickness. God would be responsible for that if man were not to be a free moral agent. You see, if somebody decides, hallelujah, if somebody decides to, go on a very risky expedition, say maybe climbing these tall mountains, and they just say, well, I can make it. I feel like I want to do it. I should do it. I'm going to do it. And against everybody's advice, no, don't do it. No, no, I must do it. Then you just go there and maybe you just break your leg or something happens. Unfortunately, if that were to happen, then you can't come back and say, oh, I wish my mom had not allowed me. It's your fault. Did you realize that people weren't always putting the fault on somebody else? In the book of Genesis, when God came down, he told Adam, because of course he asked Adam, because Adam was his son. So he came asking, Adam, where are thou? And Adam was somewhere, hiding in the thickets with his wife, because he knew they had sinned, and so they were hiding themselves away from the presence of God. And then I would like to ask somebody there online to mute your sound, please. And so when God came down, he asked the man, he said, Adam, where art thou? And then Adam came out. He said, Adam, why are you hiding yourself? He said, well, God, I said, have you eaten on the fruit, on the tree that I told you not to eat thereof? He said, well, he didn't say, well, I did. I'm sorry. But he said, well, the woman you gave to me seduced me and I did it. When he went to the woman, he said, woman, what is this that you have done? And she said, I had a serpent. You know, everybody wants to point to fingers at somebody else. No one wants to own what it is that they have done. And that's the nature of the humankind. But I want to tell you tonight that that's not right. You have to own your actions. You have to own your decisions. You have to own your scenarios. You have to own everything, because you have been given the power to choose between right and wrong. Whether God loves you or not, that's the power within you. no matter what you feel. Now in Revelation 22:7, it says, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, it doesn't matter who they are, as long as they have the will within themselves, let them come and take the water of life freely. And the water of life is Christ. The water of life is the message of the hour. The water of life is, amen, this word that we have received in our day. In the Amplified, it says, the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the believers say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is a thirsty come. Let the one who, listen, wishes, let him take and drink the water of life without cost, without money or without price. It's your wish. What do you wish? So it also goes back to confession. You find people confessing negative things only. Well, that's your choice. You know, oh no, me, I'm just cursed. Oh no. You know, that's why I don't know over in Dublin what happens there, but here in Kampala and many of the African cities, African countries, as you know, people believe so much in curses. You know, I was cursed. This has happened to me because we were cursed. We were put under a curse. And so that's why also these business makers, you know, the money makers, they hang money hungry people. They make, you know, they tell them, you know, come, I'm anointed. This is a great man of God, anointed to break curses. You know, and so they flood there to go and break curses. Every year they are breaking curses from the same person, from the same person, from the same person, over and over and over again. Because you will keep going from one prophet to another, from one to another, thinking that they are breaking curses. But actually, it is their choice that they made, and they agreed and accepted they are under a curse. If someone told me that I was cursed, I would say, no, I'm not cursed. If someone said that, look, you are not going in the rapture, I would say, no, I'm going in the rapture. If someone said, no, you are not born again, I said, no, I'm born again. If someone said, no, there is no heaven, I said, no, there is a heaven. It's a choice that I make. They made theirs, I make mine. Amen. The choices they made cannot mold mine. I have to make my own choice. That's why the choices the parents make cannot mold, amen, the choices of the children. Now, when I say mold, I don't mean that they cannot influence them in a way, but I mean that the children have to still make their own choices. Hallelujah. And so when some children hear that, I was speaking on this, and once when some children hear that, I have little ones here in my home, and my firstborn is she's actually 8 years. If I'm wrong, then my wife would scold me for that. So Elizabeth, you know, when I came back home, she and her sister were like, oh, you know, daddy, thank God, hallelujah, we can make our own choice. So the mom told them, please, can you come and eat food? No, mom, we don't want to eat. So I said, why? What do you mean? So can't we make our own choice? We don't want to eat, so. No, not that way. Because as long as you are still under the roof of your parent, then your parent has to make those choices for you. Mm-hmm. And when you go out of from the roof of your parents, then you can go ahead and make your own choices. Because, you know, parents are responsible for the children before God to raise them in a God-fearing way. And if they don't, then God will have to ask them of that. So, like, God will ask the man how he was able to get along with a wife, and how he was able to fell into together what, but how he how his dealings were with her, and how he took care of her. You know, he's responsible for that. So still, that this doesn't take away that, but we have to put it in the right perspective of scripture and understanding of the word. And so Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You see, he that believeth and he that believeth not. And John 3:16, it says that, and this many denominations love this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth. Did you hear that? Whosoever believeth. So it doesn't mean if, because God gave his only begotten son to everybody in the world, and therefore everybody in the world is saved. No. It has to be to whosoever that believeth in him, that should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I have to skip a few things here. And let us look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. And I'll read it in the amplified version for you. He says, shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not motivated for shameful gain, but with wholehearted enthusiasm, not lording it over those assigned to your care. Do not be arrogant or overbearing, but be examples of Christian living to the flock. Set a pattern of integrity for your congregation. Now, here speaking to ministers and pastors. Of course, even as a pastor, I do not make the choice for the people. I give them the word. I do not force it to them. You must do it. I'm your pastor. You must do it, for God's sake. No, it's not that way. I present the word. It's up to you to follow it. It's up to you to leave it. But every born-again child of God will desire to follow that word. Amen. To follow the instruction of the word. To do what the word is expecting of them to do. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we'll continue a little bit with that portion that I was reading. I just completed here. It says, no one recognizing that endless decisions are necessary to daily life can deny the fact of free moral acts and conduct. We make decisions every day. Every day. Every day. Even now, you're making a decision whether to hear me or to close your ears. Or whether to say amen or not to say amen. Or whether to say hallelujah or not to say hallelujah. You're just making decisions every day, every minute. I should say every second of our life. For we know we have freedom of action. Moral action concerning right and wrong. Obedience is meaningless without the possibility of disobedience. So we cannot be free if we have no choice. If God imposes his own on ours, from what would we be free from? So you see, God cannot impose his will on us. He has to let us be free so that we can make a choice. And then comes reason and faith. You see, many times before people make a choice, they can lean towards reasoning. And others will lean towards faith. So it's your choice. Which one will you lean? Will you lean to? Hallelujah. You'll have to excuse me because I want to give as much as I can. I just keep reading some of the quotes that I have here. And I have another one here from the message, Thirsting for Life. He says, in the Garden of Eden, the devil chose a man's head. And I think I've read this some time back. I don't know whether to you, but he says the devil chose a man's head. God took his heart. The devil tries to show him what he can see with his eyes. God in his heart makes him believe things by faith that he cannot see. You see, the devil chose your head. God chose your heart. The devil tries to show you what you can see with your eyes. But God in your heart makes you believe the things by faith that you cannot say. Amen. How can you believe that Jesus even existed? Were you there? Did you see him? Even all these pictures they're painting of him, who knows, maybe they're not real. Were you there? Come on, don't be deceived. Even about Brother Barham, were you there? Were you there when that picture of the pillar of fire was taken? Were you there? You know what? When you begin to hear that, just know, oh, that is reason. That's reason, and that's the devil. Hallelujah. But a child of God will not listen to the voice of reason, as it were. The son of God, a daughter of God, amen, will listen to their heart. What God will put in there, amen, what you will see, not by your eyes, amen, but by your eyes of faith, amen, you will say, I can see by my eyes of faith. I believe in a rapture. I believe Jesus was there, and I believe I am real, even as Jesus was real. And I believe this message is true. Amen. Even as we are here in reality, because we are here to prove to the devil that this message is true. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil may doubt this message, but let me tell you, he cannot. Amen. And he doesn't even have nothing. He doesn't even know what to do with the believers of that message. If the proof of the devil is the message is not real, what will he do with us? Because we are the future of this message. And we can prove the message is true and the message is real. We have experienced it. We have met God face to face. Amen. Therefore, the devil has no argument. Amen. Hallelujah. This message is true, whether they choose to believe it or not. I don't need to see. I only need to believe. Oh, you are a fool. Well, I'd rather be a fool for Christ. Amen. Than to be a fool for the devil. Oh, you are now a fanatic. Well, I'd rather be a fanatic. Hallelujah. Than to be a fool. Because the Bible says, amen, he that says there is no God is a fool. You have lost your mind. Well, I guess you are right. I've lost my mind, but I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Is there someone there to join me and say hallelujah, praise God? Oh my. I don't know how much time I have. I have Brother Andrew, you will have to signal me if I go over time. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not feel your healing. You may not see your healing. But you believe that God still heals. You believe God still delivers. Many of us down here were, I don't know whether it was COVID or not, but many of us were, you know, infected by, you know, different kind of, sicknesses around. And, you know, we went before the Lord in prayer and inquired of him. And, you know, families started receiving healing. And, you know, when I asked how many have gotten their healing today, you know, very many hands went out. And I say, yeah, I've got my healing. And I believe that God is a healer. He heals even now. Even if you are sick right now, God can deliver you. God can heal you. You may not feel different in your body, but that doesn't mean that you are not healed. Because he said, amen, by his stripes, you are healed. You choose to believe that. The devil may tell you to doubt it, but you choose to believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. See? Reason versus faith. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. See, man wants to see a big place, a great big something with a psychological effect to it. God isn't in psychology. He doesn't work with the mental powers. You will never be able to reason out God. You believe God by faith, not by reason. Cast down your imaginations. Cast down your reasonings. And let that faith within you rise. Woo, hallelujah. If someone is bound, let me tell you something tonight. If you are bound in any type or kind of chains, amen, like I told you before, it could be depression. It could be, you know, a confusion, spiritual confusion. And, you know, let me tell you something, my brother, my sister. The only thing you have to do is to believe, amen, what God has said. Have faith in his word. Don't feel your situation. Don't feel what is in your mind. Amen. Look at what he has promised for you in his word. Hallelujah. And that's where your deliverance is tonight. Hallelujah. It's not what God, it's not what the devil says or what the world shows us. It's what God has said in his word. That settles it for me. Hallelujah. Did you know that we are slaves to the one we obey? Did you know that? Did you know that? And we can make a choice. We can make a choice to be a slave to the right one. And I'll tell you a story here after which I will read for you Romans 6. Most of us here, I believe, know the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now, of course, the devil knows you are young and he knows that you're now in your adolescence, maybe, and he knows that your body is now sexually active and he knows when to come. Let me tell you, the devil knows when to come. The devil knows when to attack you with what. He knows it. He's been experienced at this for a while. And so he attacked Joseph at the right time in his youth, in his youthful age. He attacked him and was like, you know what, Joseph? You know, you can do something for yourself. You know, my husband is not around, and I won't tell if you won't tell, and you know. And Joseph was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Don't you know I'm a child of God? Don't you know?" He said, "No, but don't you have feelings? Are you telling me you don't have feelings? Listen to me, my brother, my sister. Do not follow your feelings. This message, amen, and this Christ that you have received in your heart isn't all about feelings. You may not feel anything, you may feel all, but let me tell you, no matter what you fear, if you hold your faith on the word of God and on his promises, amen, and you'd rather be a slave to Christ than to be a slave to sin." Yeah. And this boy, Potiphar's wife wanted to enslave him. And she was like, "Well, if you want to enslave me, you'd rather take my garments. Take my garments. But do not touch me, because I'm God's anointed, I'm God's child." And while he was running away, he made a right choice, I tell you. He made a right choice. And when he was running away, then she shouted, "Do not worry. The devil may try to blackmail you into some sort of thing to embarrass you. But let me tell you, the devil might try to do that, but he can never embarrass he that God has in their hearts and in their hands. Amen. They that trust in the name of the Lord shall never be ashamed." And so we notice that, you know, he thought it was embarrassing him. She did not know that she was only creating, oh goodness, she was only creating a stage, amen, for Joseph to soar up, amen, in the realms of power. Oh, glory to God. And so when she tried to do that, you know, he was taken to prison. And from there, where did he go? Where did he go? Right to the palace. The devil tried to ashamed our Lord. The devil tried to ashamed Jesus, but he did not know by doing that, by trying to ashamed our Lord. Amen. He only took our Lord in the realms of power. No one can ashamed you if you are in Christ. Remember that. Remember that. You rather be a slave of Christ, and the devil will never, never make you his slave. Hallelujah. Amen. Let not sin, Romans 6:12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So every part of my body, I'm going to, amen, hallelujah, I'm going to hold it as an instrument of righteousness unto God. Amen. Is that your declaration this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. And I somehow love how the Amplified, you know, is able to amplify these verses and make it more meaningful. Listen to this. It says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts and passions. Do not go on offering members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness." Don't do that. "But offer yourselves to God in a decisive act." Just decide and say, "Yeah, this is what I'm going to do." "As those alive, raised from the dead to a new life, and your members, all of your abilities, sanctified, set apart as instruments of righteousness, yielded to God. For sin will no longer be a master over you, since you are not under the law or as slaves, but under unmerited grace as recipients of God's favor and mercy." Oh, can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord. If you just give me a few more moments. In Romans 6:16, he says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, he servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Of obedience unto righteousness. Well, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, and I want to obey him. Hallelujah. But what do many people do? They decide to spurn God's mercy, to look down on it. Brother Branham says in The Seal of Christ, 1955, listen, when man spurns mercy, there is only one thing left, and that's judgment. God is loving, not willing that any should perish. But if you do any perishing, you do it yourself. Did you know that? No man is going to hell unless you really want to go to hell. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. You will not go to hell tonight. I said you will not go to hell unless you want to. But if you do any perishing, you do it yourself. You do it by free moral agency. You do it by desire. God don't want you to, but you do it anyhow. You fight your way into it. It is so bad. The Bible talks in the book of Romans, chapter 1. It speaks of the demons that are working in the children of disobedience at this time. And it says because they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly. Men with men, women with women, doing those things that are not right. What is it? Because they don't retain God in their mind. Because they refuse to retain God in their mind. You see, the world is going into a Sodom condition right now. Why? Because they have not retained God in their mind. They have not retained God in their mind. They have made a choice not to obey God. And so God gave them over to their lusts and desires. That's the reason. That's the reason, children of God. That's the reason. You see, Brother Branham then says here, hallelujah. And this will be an encouragement to some of you in the message, the faith of Abraham. He says, Abraham, what was it now? God called Abraham because he was a good man. He asks a question. Because he was a good man, did he call him because he was a good man? Yes or no? Sure, no. Abraham wasn't a good man. You see, God called Abraham by election. Now, did he call you because you're a good man? Well, you may say, well, look, Brother Bass, I am so sinful. You don't know what the things I've been doing. You don't know what I am. You know, I'm so dirty. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter the things you've been through. Listen, you can make a right choice right now. Amen. Hallelujah. God called Abraham not because he was good. Amen. No, God called Abraham by election. God elects people. And over in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and about the 5th verse, Paul states the word predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. Now, that doesn't mean that God just puts you in a little channel and runs you through. No, 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 no. And you can't help it. If how you go, where you go, you know, would be no reward. No. But God gives you the free moral agency. God gives you the free moral agency to make your choice. Hallelujah. To make your choice. Thank you, brother, for putting that quote there. To make your choice. God gives you the free moral agency to make your choice. But God will keep his believer. I just want to emphasize that last part there. And please read it with me if you can. He says, but God gives you the free moral agency to make your choice. But God will keep his believer. God will keep me and God will help me to make the right choice in this life. Every day, he will help me. He will inspire me. He will brood over me to make the right choices in my life. And he will see to it that I don't make choices that will damn me. Oh my, praise the name of the Lord. And he says, and predestination is hard, a hard word among the congregation of people, because predestination really, foreknowledge, is a better word. And predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. That God, being infinite in the beginning, knew that the end, he knew the end from the beginning. Therefore, he knew what people would do so he could foretell what would take place, for he knew what would be. Not that he makes them and, you know, do them. Look. No, but he knew what they would do. And so he is able to know what would take place. And so he would foretell it. That's what it means to be predestinated. He knew that you would believe him. He knew that you are part of him. He knew, he knows all things. He's omniscient. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want to take the last quote that I will read tonight, and in the message, Why is it that so many Christians find it so hard to live a Christian life? And maybe there is somebody tonight that has had it rough and you found it very hard to live a Christian life. Why? Why is it so hard? And so I want to share on that in this quote from paragraph 184 and read a few things for you there, and then we shall close. But if he made you thus without you having anything to say, how much more can he? If God made you the way you are, if God made you the way you are, did you hear that? Without having anything to say, how much more can he, through his brooding, give you a choice? God now, through his brooding, will give you a choice. Okay? Listen. And you are on the basis of free moral agency. You can turn this down or you can accept it. To turn it down is to be lost and remain potash and calcium and petroleum. But to accept it and to have a new heart, a new spirit, and his spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, part of the Logos in you, controlling your emotions. And when he cools through his word, you cool back in answer to him. Oh, praise God. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You cool back and say, amen, Lord. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. You say, amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What is he saying? He says that, you know, he broods over you. It's not by your power. Yeah, it's your choice, but it's not by your power. It is him brooding over you. Hallelujah. And I'm sorry, that was from impersonation of Christianity and the other quote that I said I'll read last. I'll just continue with it right here. He says, how he did it out of the dust of the earth. And it's just the same idea here. Now look, if it takes the Holy Spirit to brood me from the earth, to call me out of the dust of the earth, and now I am based on the basis of free moral agency to receive it or to turn it down. If I want life, I can have it. If I want to refuse it, I am a free moral agent. I can take the devil then. But if I want God, I can take it. And that's before every person that ever come on earth. But look, by my own mental conceptions, I can't have it. What is it? It took the Holy Spirit to bring me from the earth. It's not by your own mental conception. It's not by your own mental conception. Tell somebody near you, it's not by your own mental conceptions. You see, you can't have it by that way. It took the Holy Spirit to bring me from the earth. To mold me from there. All of us are molded from there, as it were. And if the Holy Spirit made me what I am without having any choice, how much more, oh, I love this, how much more can he bring me back out of the dust of the earth by choice?
Amen.
Woo! If he brooded over me while I was in the soil to come out, how much more now? That I have a choice. Then I didn't have a choice. But now I have a choice. How much more now with a choice? Not my intellectuals. Not my church membership. But the Holy Ghost that's brooding down and calling to me. I will answer back to it. He raised his hands and swore that he would raise me up in the last days.
Amen.
Oh, brother, intellectual will never do it. Mental conception will never do it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that brings the human being to his place. Make your choice, he says. Make your choice. Oh, happy day. I fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. No matter what the rest of the world does, it is sinking sand. My choice is on thee. The Holy Spirit that's moving down through his word, saying, this is my word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I make my choice right now. Maybe some of you, I just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. And some of you maybe have been on a road that you know has been a wrong road. but you can put that off. And you've gone through things, and maybe you've gone through heartaches, and you've gone through suffering, and you've gone through, and maybe it's been wrong choices everywhere. Now you can make a right choice. You can now make a right choice and say, I just want to follow Jesus and to follow his guidance. To follow his guidance even through the ministers that God gives me. He gives you his pastor to help you. He gives you his pastor to guide you, to lead you. Many times young people think that they know their way around everything. They will just do it their way and they don't need to ask for no counsel nowhere. The Bible says in multitude of counsel, purposes are established, but if you proceed without counsel, you will fail. You will fail. Purposes will be destroyed. You have to follow with counsel. You have to follow with caution. You have to do that. Can you make that right choice to do the right things, to do it in the right way? Then you know your purposes in your life shall be established. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody, and I do not know, maybe Brother Shem, you can put the screen for the people so I can see them. And maybe you want to, at this time, lift up your hand and you're a young person. And you just say, Brother Bass, I want you to pray with me tonight. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. I can see your hands. God bless you. And God can see that. God sees that. Brother Shem, as you play a little bit slowly with a low key, happy day that fixed my choice. I'd like us to pray for you. Precious loving Jesus. Oh God. You have ordained it before the foundation of the world and laid it upon our brother Pastor Andrew's heart, Lord, to have this meeting. Maybe that meeting was for this very purpose, Lord. This person raising up their hand right now, Lord. These people raising up their hands. These young people, Lord, and maybe going wrong directions in their life. Just feel that, oh Lord, I want to make the right choice now and to decide to do the right thing. Oh Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit right now cool over them, Lord. Let him call them over out of what the mess they have been in, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, may you fix their choice in you. Help them, Lord, and establish them in you that they will be established. For in you, all their purposes are established. Fill them now, I pray, and let those evil spirits leave them at this moment. Hallelujah. Let that power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, that knows no bounds and knows no, amen, bounds of internet or places of boundaries, let it all go and reach where they are right now in the name of Jesus and give them hope. Whoever that might have lost hope, may you restore hope unto them. Whoever might have been disappointed and heartbroken, may you restore unto them the joy of their salvation. And whoever that might have been sinking down in sin, may you raise them up. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, I know that this is just what you do. And this is what you do when your word goes forth, Lord. May you do just that, Father, in the hearts of your people. And whosoever that might have been feeling, Lord, saying, maybe I'm not even one of them. Maybe, Lord, may that spirit leave them. May they just come on board and say, no, I feel I'm just one of this bunch. I feel I'm going in a rapture. I know, I can know it in my heart I'm going because I've made my choice. Bless them, Lord. Bless every one of them, Father. You see their hearts. You see their hands raised up to you, Lord Jesus. Bless our pastor, Brother Andrew, Lord, that you laid on his heart to have these meetings. And I know there's been many meetings before in these past few days, Lord. Bless our brothers that have been ministering, Lord. Bless our brother David Nash in the USA, Lord. Bless our brother George Martin. Bless our brother from Ghana. Bless every one of them, Lord, and all those participants. And just let whatever we have heard sink in our hearts, Lord, and we make a right choice. That we will fix our choice with you. Grant it, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Let's sing that song as Pastor Andrew will just take on. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice of thee, my Savior and my God. Give me the words, brother. Bless you, Pastor Andrew. You can take one.
Amen. God bless you, bro. Saints, that was a wonderful, wonderful word, and I was really, really blessed by that. I'm sure you're the same as me. Is the Lord has given us such a wonderful thing, free will, free moral agency. He's given you as an individual, you, once you come to that time in your life that you can make a decision between right and wrong, it's the grace of God. God gives you the power to choose him. What a powerful thing that is. And as Brother Busubozi was saying so well there, you might have made so many wrong decisions. But it's just the power of the right decision now can turn things completely around. Now you think of the prodigal son. He made so many wrong decisions about leaving home, wrong decisions about which friends he should have, wrong decisions about where he should go, where he should live, what he should do. And then the grace of God spoke to him once again. And then he made that one decision that turned his entire life around. And his life could be divided into two, before that decision and after that decision. Before that decision, it was just a going down, a backsliding, getting deeper and deeper into sin. But when something spoke to his heart, and I pray tonight that the Holy Ghost has spoken to your heart, and that just inside of yourself, you've come to the altar in your own heart and you've made that decision to say, it's enough. I will arise and I will return to my Father. And I'll say to my Father, and friends, the story now starts going up. We hear it's going down all the way. And now the Lord starts to restore him once again. But friends, let's compare it with the rich young ruler. Here was a young man that stood in the presence of eternal life. Here was the person of eternal life, Jesus Christ himself. And as we know so well, Jesus loved him and Jesus gave him the invitation, told him exactly what he should do to inherit eternal life. But Jesus couldn't force anything upon him. It came down to the power of his choice, his decision. And that young man with all of that potential, the prophet says that young man could have been another Paul. Because he was so such a fine young man. He was so zealous for the law. He said, I kept the law since the days of my youth. He had resources he could have used for the kingdom of God. But that young man, he made the wrong decision. And the prophet in Follow Me says, where do we next find him? We find him in hell. Saints, that's the power of the choice, the power of a decision. You make the right decision in your life, especially in the days of your youth, and your life will be such a blessing. The Lord will bless you and bless those that are around you, and you'll be a great asset in the kingdom of God. But Satan wants us to make the wrong choices and the wrong decisions. So we're so grateful for the word that he brings, that he brings ministry, like Brother Busobozi, to come so that the Holy Ghost quickens the word, brooding over us, as the quote was read, so that we don't make the wrong decisions at those junctures. So I would really just encourage you as we say, thank the Lord for the word, as we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. You know, wherever you are, I think he's said so many wonderful things. Even in his prayer, he's prayed so well for everybody in that situation. Now it's time for you and I to choose. What shall I do with this Jesus called Christ? What decision am I going to make now? Now you've heard both sides. The devil's told you this side. The Lord has come to persuade you, to brood over you on the other side. Let's make the right choice now, friends. If you're going in the wrong direction, let this be the time that you arise and that you return. And you will see from that time, it'll be a great blessing inside of your life. So we're so grateful for the word. I was really blessed. May the Lord bless you, brother. May the Lord bless the saints that are there. Bless your ministry. Bless your family. Bless the fellowship that's there. And the new year, by the grace of God, brother, we really look forward. Once the Lord opens things up once again, we'd so love you to come across to minister for us. And may the Lord guide and lead our footsteps to meet wheresoever it would be. So let's just bow our heads once more, saints, as we finish off the weekend in prayer. Brother Busobozi has already prayed so well. You know, people have put up their hands, but maybe there's somebody there now. And you just wanted to, just inside of your heart, just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to make the right choice. Lord, I don't like the way my life is going. Lord, I'm scared of the way I've been thinking. I'm scared of the desires that I can feel rising up inside of me. I don't want to be overtaken by things that I cannot control. But Jesus, I choose today to believe you. I choose today to call upon your name. And you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And friends, the Lord sees your heart. And may the Lord bless you, Father. We thank you once again for the blessedness of your word that you've ministered unto us upon this evening, Lord. And how we come even now, how we just invite the Holy Ghost, Lord, to brood over every heart, to brood over every soul and every life, Lord. Father, just to quicken, Lord, that something inside of us, Lord, that, Father, we'll make that right choice and that right decision at this time. Father, we know when the world comes and Satan gets into the things of the world, how he can tempt and how he can build up an image. Father, how he can promise so many things. But, Father, Lord, at that kind of a time, how we need you, as we've heard you tonight, to come to minister, to come to quicken, to come to persuade, to speak unto our souls, that, Lord, we make those right choices and those right decisions. So may you bless every young person, Lord, that is tuned in with us, praying for them on YouTube as well, praying for anybody that will watch this down the way, that, Lord, you will use this message for your glory. That, Father, even after the service is over, may you continue to speak is our desire. May you bless the minister, bless the saints there in Uganda, bless, Father, the saints across in England. Father, help our young people, we pray, as we come to the end of the year, Father, and we enter into this new year. Lord, teach us and guide us and lead us, that you may be glorified in these things, we pray. And Father, we thank you for all these things, and we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you richly. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. Brother George, maybe you can just lead us in one more song. Maybe just your guitar was a little bit loud when you played last time, but if you could tune it down a little bit, that would be a blessing. I think let's sing that song, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. I'll go with Him all the way. And I'm sure if you make that, if that is the real determination of your heart, I can prophesy over your life, not being a prophet or the son of a prophet. I can prophesy good things inside of your life. If that is what's governing your life, that wheresoever he leads you, you will follow. There's good things that lay before you. So let's sing this song as we dismiss it. God bless you, saints.
Where he
God bless you richly, saints. Have a blessed day.